you know, Ginny's not with us. She is away. Richard was away. Where were you? Mallorca. That's right. Yeah. And he was there till yesterday. So he's come back specially for us. No, I don't think so. Now, Eunice has got an appointment at the hospital, Torbay, tomorrow, 10 o'clock. And as yet, we have no one to take us there. Maybe it'll be a taxi. I don't know if we get one. But anyway, I hope then she might lose that... not the hand, but the... because she can do so little with that hand. So, if we get that thing off, then she might be able to drive. Which, I can't stand it without it. I've been crying. I've had a hard time, believe you me. Right. So we're going to start. We're a very small group today. Father, I place into your hands the things I can't do. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Can you read? Right. Thank you, Richard.
Julie sends her love, and they're having a really nice time in Canada with their family, grandchildren, and children. So, Julie is actually with us on this first backing track. She's singing along, so it'll help us a lot, I'm sure. We won't have to miss a few notes.
Oh.
come to Abba, Father, let me be yours and yours alone. And we'll sing that once through twice. Come to our Lord in prayer, and today a special prayer for families and friends. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray for our families and for our friends. Today we pray especially for our fathers and for all who take on the roles of fatherhood. We would ask that you would protect them from all that is evil in the world. For each one who has invited you into their lives, we pray that they will grow closer and closer to you and become faithful disciples, serving you and filled by the Spirit, that they may feed upon your word and fulfill the tasks that you have given them. And for those who do not know you or accept you, may they be awakened to the truth of the gospel and turn to you in repentance and faith. May your presence give many blessings to each one. Be their guide and their wisdom, their joy, and fill them with your peace. And we commit all into your safekeeping, both for now and evermore. Amen. Now we're going to sing again. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind. In purer lives thy service find. In deeper reverence pray.
Oh.
I want us to join together again for more prayer. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for all that you mean to us. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross for us and rose again. We thank you that Jesus is still alive and with you, our Father. We thank you for the truth of the gospel. We want to thank you, Lord, for all the people that serve us. Doctors, nurses, so many other people, the fire service, the NHS, so many people, carers. Oh Lord, we thank you for all who spend their time helping other people. And we thank you, Lord, for the fact that we know we can rest with you, Lord. We know that you love each one of us. And although we may not know you, you know us and you care for us. And we thank you for all the promises that we find in the scriptures. And we know that they are true. You will not forsake us. You will not leave us, but you are there always for us. And no matter where we are, we can turn to you and know that you will be there for us. And we want to pray today especially for those that we know who need our prayers. We think, Lord, of Helen. Lord, we ask that you'd be with her and her situation, and that you would be with Brian as he seeks to be there for her. And we pray for John. Lord, we ask that you would be with him. He misses his wife so much. But Lord, we pray that you would be his companion. And Lord, we also pray for Bruce as he stands by there for John and looks after him. We pray for Stuart, and we pray that you would be his companion, that you'd keep him from falling, and that you'd keep him strong, and be with his wife, Jean, as she looks after him. And we pray also for April, and ask, Lord, that you would be with her, and we hope that her plans will be successful. So, Lord, be all that she needs and those that are there to support her. And, Lord, let us all look to you and know that you love us. And we love you, Lord, and we pray that we may believe in you and that we might get your comfort and your peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now Deborah is going to bring to us the reading for today.
morning's reading comes from Luke 2, verses 41 to 52. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man.
Thank you. Now we sing, "I am special because God has loved me." We'll sing this one twice too. forgive me if I remain seeking now the title to the message is True Fatherhood. And the text that I want to share with you comes from Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, where we read these words. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. You know, I wonder how we as individuals, when we were younger, I wonder how we took our father's instructions. Did we really take note of them? Did we accept our mother's teaching? I wonder. I know that when I received commands or instructions from either of my parents, I'm not sure at all that I really was a good example. But I want to look back not only at how I behaved, but how my own father behaved. And there's a great difference between something that happened first, to my knowledge, and then the change that came about. We lived in Kingston upon Thames. We lived in a flat. At the end of the road we lived was a factory where they were making aeroplanes and other things for the war that was going on at that time. And my father was one of that staff. And it must have been a very frightening thing. I know that some people left the factory to go and find a much safer place to live in than Kingston, where we were having an awful lot of bomb disaster. And one day, my father came back from the factory and he was going to have to go back again for another shift. It was terrible. His food wasn't ready for him when he came. He lost his cool and he broke most of the china in the flat. When you think about it, I reflect now how he lost his cool because he was living in a situation where there were bombs all around you, where he was worried about his wife and his two children, i.e. my sister and me. He had to go back to the factory. And his food wasn't ready. I think, you know, in many ways, we didn't realize how the war was affecting people. And I thought of my father as someone just with a bad temper. But things changed. Eventually, my sister and I were evacuated for the last year of the war. My parents had not sent us off before, but now they felt it was getting so bad that they needed to send us down here to Devon. And so we came. But when it was over, things changed very much. We went back to Kingston. We had a good education. But then my father had the opportunity, no longer working at the factory making war things, and he took the shop and he changed completely. He couldn't do enough for other people. He was a father that changed in a wonderful way. And now I want to pass over many, many, many years. But his love for other people continued. And eventually, having three shops, he really did treat customers and staff very well. But later, he retired. He and my mother came down here to live. And what I do remember very clearly is the last time I saw him. What he showed then, I think, could be called true fatherhood. He shared something with me, which is private, but is something that I will never, ever forget. I went back to the house I was staying at. And I'd only just gone in through the door and I had a phone call to tell me from the hospital that he had passed on. So in other words, that was the last time I saw him. That was the last time he spoke to anyone, I am told. And it's surprising, isn't it? You know, we can take things for granted. If that person's bad, well, they're always going to be bad. That's not true. And I know that firsthand. And you know, there is no better example than God the Father. He is wonderful. And I want to look now at what we heard about Jesus and what his father said about him. Jesus is a wonderful example for all young people today to follow. He grew in a balanced way, but without neglecting any part of life. And you know, his priority was to do the will of his father. He knew how to listen and to how to ask the right questions. He learned how to work and he was obedient to his parents. The boy Jesus grew up in a large family in a despised city, nurtured by parents who were probably poor. The Jewish religion was at an all-time low, and the Roman government was in control, and society was in a state of fear and change. Yet, when Jesus emerged from Nazareth 18 years later, the Father was able to say to him, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." And all I want to say to you today is this: make the Father, God the Father, be able to say that about us. Is God well pleased with us? Is God our Father happy with what we are doing in his world? I hope so. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I'm told that we're going to listen to something that is going to be played. It's a song about Father. It's not one we're going to sing, but it's one that's going to be sung, and we are going to listen to it, and then we will sing our last song. Thank you, Richard.
Listen to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, he sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. You are singing over me, the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me. Now you're singing over me, the Father's song. I have heard so many songs, listened to a thousand tongues, but there is one that sounds above them all, sounds above them all. The Father's song, the Father's love, he sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart. Heaven's perfect melody, the Creator's symphony. You are singing the Father's song. Heaven's perfect mystery, the King of Love has sent for me. And now you're singing over me, the Father's song. Singing over me, the Father. mother's song, your father's love. You sung it over me and for eternity. It's written on my heart.
Now we come to our last hymn, Father God, I wonder how I managed to exist without the knowledge of your parenthood. Come together.